Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It's always good to see you. Just a reminder once again to make sure that you do look at the announcements at the back of the bulletin. There's always things going on around here. Just one thing to remind you of today, that we do have potluck after Sunday school this morning. So if y'all want some good food, stick around and join us at the potluck. Announcements? Anybody else with announcements? Dr. Debbie Cottrell is here this morning from Texas Lutheran University. She is the president there, and she would like to say a few words to us, give us a little more information. But before she does, I just want to ask, how many of you have attended classes at Texas Lutheran University or college? All right. Got a few hands coming up. How many of you have ever been on campus at Texas Lutheran? All right. Quite a few of you have been there, so y'all are aware of Texas Lutheran. So, Dr. Cottrell.
Good morning, everyone. I am Debbie Cottrell, and I have the great honor of serving as the 16th president of Texas Lutheran University. Alan and I are so happy to be with you all this morning, and we bring warm greetings from all of the TLU community to each of you. I want to thank Pastor Tim, a good alum, and all in this congregation for extending this invitation for us to be with you, to worship with you today, and let you know what a pleasure it is to be with you. And I know also that your pastor here is not only an alum, but a TLU parent. So he's a double for us, and we're very appreciative of that. Now, I know that there are many long and important ties between Texas Lutheran and St. Paul, and I'm so very grateful for that. I'm also very grateful for the special link between Yorktown and TLU that existed through Dr. Joe Min, who served as the 11th president of Texas Lutheran and had a major impact on our campus that is still felt today. I recognize that even as many of you may have direct contacts and connections to TLU, some of you graduates, some of you indicating you've visited our campus, and you may know our history, I also know that some of you may know less about us, or maybe not know us much at all. And what I would want to assure you is that wherever you fall across those ranges, please know that we are very proud to be your Lutheran University in Texas, and that we rely on and are deeply grateful for the prayers and the support and the belief in TLU that congregations like yours offer to us. I have been a part of the TLU community since 2012, and I've been in my role as president since July of 2019. The role of a small faith-based institution in the higher education landscape of our country today is incredibly important, even as it requires focus, discipline, and a never-wavering commitment to mission. I'm happy to report to you all today that TLU is an active, vibrant, busy campus serving approximately 1,400 students, Most of our students are from Texas, and quite a few of them are from South and Central Texas, including many from this part of the state. We are now in our 134th year of operation, having begun in Brenham in 1891 and then moving to Seguin in 1912. TLU continues to draw on its liberal arts foundation, even as we now offer numerous robust majors in professional areas. We are primarily an undergraduate campus, but now over the past 10 years have gradually entered into the area of graduate programs and now offer 8 of those, with about 120 of our students attending TLU at the graduate level. We also now have 2 campuses outside of Seguin, both offering accelerated nursing programs, one in New Braunfels and one in Houston. We have an outstanding music program, which annually features our beautiful Vespers Christmas concerts, as well as a spring tour in Texas. We have 19 different athletic teams, and in the next few weeks, construction will begin on a new student athletic center, named for our alum and well-known sports broadcaster, Vern Lundquist. We are also focused on other areas where TLU can contribute and expand, including determining ways that our long strength in the science and allied health areas can expand to meet the needs of our region and our state. Amidst a wide array of offerings and student programs and activities, our campus ministries program, led by campus pastor Wes Kane, sits at the center of all of that and offers spiritual development opportunities as well as leadership opportunities for our students. Campus ministries is a vibrant component of our campus, with chapel held 3 times a week, and TLU takeovers, where our students go out and visit church services and then lead the church through those services. The TLU takeovers have in recent years become a favorite student activity. Our focus at TLU is to serve our students well, to honor our faith and our diversity, and to ensure our longevity. We are proud to be a faith-based institution with a long history of incorporating spiritual growth into the education that our students receive. We're also very proud of our Lutheran identity, as well as our Hispanic-serving institution status, both of which allow us many ways to be a strong and vibrant community. So I want to thank you again for your support and for this kind welcome and invitation that you've given us this morning. I've already left a few materials on TLU out at the back that you can see as you're leaving, and I certainly look forward to being with you in the Sunday school hour this morning after worshiping with you. Thank you again for having us, and may God continue to bless this congregation and each one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Cottrell. Please rise now for our opening hymn, Spread, O Spread, Almighty Word. our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You, congregation, may be seated. At this time, we will have the reception of new members. I ask the congregation to please follow along with this service. It is in your green hymnal in the LBW. It is at the beginning of the book, page 198. Page 198. And we begin at red letter 7. These persons have come to us from other churches and desire to make public affirmation of their baptism. And I ask you to come forward as your names are read. Dorothy Zinnist. Hans Wiesen. Is he here today? Yeah, there he is. Crystal Laney and Easton Lemke. Jason Corey and Corbin Block, and Shirley Deezer. No, just come on up here. Yesterday evening for our Saturday service, we also received Rosa Harton, and then also the Roth family was here as well, too. Okay, we can turn around and face this way right now. There we go. All right, dear friends, we rejoice to receive you, members of one holy Catholic and apostolic church, into our fellowship in the gospel. And we continue with red letter number 12. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you members of his church. In the community of God's people, you have learned from his word God's loving purpose for you and for all creation. You have been nourished at his holy table and called to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? If so, answer, I do. We confess our faith, and I ask that the congregation join in. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
let us pray for those affirming their baptism and for all the baptized everywhere, that they may be redeemed from all evil and rescued from the way of sin and death. Lord, in your mercy, that the Holy Spirit may open their hearts to your grace and truth. Lord, in your mercy, that they may be kept in faith and communion of your holy church. Lord, in your mercy, that they may be sent into the world and witness up to your love. Lord, in your mercy, that they may be brought to the fullness of your peace and glory. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear his word and share in his supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, through water and the Spirit, you have made these persons your own. You forgave them all their sins and brought them to newness of life. Continue to strengthen them with the Holy Spirit and daily increase in them your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, we rejoice to receive you, members of one holy Catholic and apostolic church, into our fellowship in the gospel. All right, now I think we've got some gifts for y'all. Welcome. And y'all may go sit down then. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you sent your only Son as the word of life for our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Help us to believe with joy what the scriptures proclaim. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness.
First lesson is a reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uriah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again. Take a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing. When it is felled, the holy seed is its stump, the word of the Lord." Psalm 138, the congregation will respond in the bold print. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing the praise of the Lord, that praise is worthy of the Lord.
Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly. He perceives the haughty from afar. The Lord will make good his purpose for me, O Lord. Your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. The second lesson is a reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as if first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared in Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still living, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's service.
Good morning. How is everybody today? Find your spot. Congratulations, you're officially a member now. Hi, come on up, have a seat with us. So I've got something to surprise you with today. We're going on a trip in 15 minutes. All right, all of us. For real. I don't know where, but it's going to be for 3 years. Uh-oh, is right. What are you going to pack? You only got 15 minutes. What are you going to pack? What are you going to take? Yes.
Food.
Okay, that works.
Water.
That's good. Yes.
Clothes.
Okay. Huh? Sleeping bags. Electronics. I figured that was coming. All right. But guess what? How much luggage do you think that is? 1,000. It might be. But what if I was to tell you, you can't take anything? You would not survive, huh? You think so. Okay. Well, you know, that's what's happened today. Jesus was talking to some fishermen, and he chose them and got them to fish in the right side of the boat and got all these fish, and then he came up and he told them, "Guess what? From now on, you're going to be fishing for people." And did they go home and pack? No. It says they dropped everything and went with him. Boy, that would be kind of hard, wouldn't it? No electronics. Sorry. That would be tough, wouldn't it? But they did it. They did it. Now, if you're going to be fishing for people, though, when you go fishing, you need bait, right?
Yes. That's the only way you can get fish.
Only way you can get fish is with bait. So what do we use? If we were those people and we dropped everything and went, we don't have any bait, what would we use to fish for people? Bingo. Very well done. We would use God to help us. Exactly. And what it says here in the very first lesson, too, is kind of interesting, too, because Isaiah's talking, and it says, "Then I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" What did he answer? "Here I am, send me." So if we're going to use God, what we're going to do is we're going to use his love. That's the thing that we take with us all the time. That's the only way you can get, maybe not fish, but it's the way we get people. And how do you know what bait to take? Well, you come here. So you can put that bait in your heart. You come and take the Word of God. You take the love of God. And you take the Spirit of God. And we learn about it in this place. And we put it in our heart. And then we go out those doors and go fishing. And we fish with that love in our lives. And people see that bait, and they see that love, and they see that Spirit, and they see that Word of God in us, and that's how we catch fish. Not fish, but people. So that's what I hope you do. I hope you continue to come and build that bait up and go out and fish. And you don't need anything else but God's love and God's help, like you said. And he will bless that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be the ones that you send out to fish for people. Help us to take the right bait with us. Help us to learn what that bait is here in this church, in Sunday school, and in our Bible studies, and in this worship, so that we may go out and fish for people, and people may see the bait in our hearts, your love, your Spirit, and your Word. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a group of people who were having a picnic along a riverbank, and unfortunately, one of the men got a little bit too close to the bank. He slipped off and went into the water, but he couldn't swim. And so he started thrashing around. And people were very much concerned. They rushed over to the riverbank to try to save him. And they were reaching out to him and say, "Give us your hand. Give us your hand." But he just kept on thrashing around and making drowning noises. And he wouldn't grab at their hand. But then another man comes pushing through the crowd. And he goes up to the riverbank. And he says, "Take my hand. Take my hand." And the drowning man, he immediately grabs his hand, and the man was pulled to safety. Everybody in the crowd was just amazed. They were stunned. They didn't know what had just happened. And so the man looked and he saw their amazement. He said, "There's nothing to this. I know this old coot. He's stingy and he's tight. You were saying, 'Give me your hand.' He's not going to give you a thing. I said, 'Take my hand,' and he grabbed it." I always like a good story that has a twist to it, a story that usually has a point to it as well then too. And our gospel story today is one of those. It's a wonderful story. There's some playfulness even within this story of Jesus, just kind of egging things on a little bit. You know the story well. You've heard it. Probably heard it when you were 2 or 3 years old in Sunday school class. And we hear it every so often here in church as well then too. Just about every year, I think, we hear this story. But it's a good story, and for many it may be a favorite story, but there's always some parts to it that maybe you just didn't quite catch on to. This is very early in Jesus' ministry. He had been baptized. He had gone out into the wilderness. He had been preaching in and around the area of Galilee, there around the Galilean Lake, and people were starting to know who he was and be amazed at him, because he had been out healing people, he had been casting out demons, he had been preaching in their synagogues, he was making a name for himself, and so people wanted to see him. Either they had seen him before, or they had heard about him, so they wanted to see him. So everywhere Jesus was going, he always had a crowd around him, And this time we see the story. It opens up on the side of the lake, and here's all these people pushing in on him. They want to be close to Jesus. They want to be near Jesus. They see him as an amazing person and possibly even the Messiah. It was being whispered already that maybe he is the Messiah. So Jesus couldn't even turn around and talk to the people because they were pressing in so close to him. But he saw fishermen. They had been fishing all night long, and they had brought their boats in this morning and were cleaning up their nets. And so he hops into one of the boats and says, "Hey, you mind pushing me out just a little way so I can talk to these people?" Now, more than likely, Jesus had already met Peter. There's a story right before this, or just a few verses before this, about how Jesus had healed Simon's mother-in-law. It doesn't say that Peter was there, but Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And in John's gospel, Jesus does meet John right after Jesus' baptism. So more than likely, if Peter had not met Jesus, he had heard about Jesus because Andrew already knew Jesus as well then too. But anyway, Jesus gets in Peter's boat, and Peter says, "Whatever, let's go out." So he takes him on out. And Jesus teaches the crowd. Now, what Jesus said, we don't know. Luke does not record that in this story. We don't know what Jesus told the crowd. But after they got through speaking, Jesus says to Peter, "Let's go on out here to the deep water. Let's go fishing. This is a fishing boat, isn't it? Let's go fishing." Now, I can just see Peter rolling his eyes on that one. He'd been out all night. He and his brother and maybe his father and James and John, his partners, had been out all night long, and they caught nothing. And I can just see Peter, "What's the use of going out there? There's no more fish out there, or at least not where we were fishing. The conditions aren't right to go fishing anyway. It's not the right time of day. The fish aren't going to be out there. We're not going to find any." And he explains that to Jesus. I'm sure Peter's tired. He's probably hungry. He wants to get home, get some breakfast, get some rest, finish cleaning up his boats, and maybe thinking maybe tomorrow night we'll get a little bit more. We'll have a little bit more luck. But that's not going to happen. Even reluctantly, Peter shoves on out to the deep waters. A decision that changes his life forever. Because once they get out in the deep waters, as you know, they pull up many, many fish. So many that when they call help from their friends, it's enough to fill up two fishing boats. And they are amazed at the catch. And I can imagine when they're pulling all these fish in and pulling up the nets, and then the nets are starting to break, or you can hear the strain on those nets, and everybody's busy trying to get all this scrambled up. And finally, when they get all these on the boat, they see how low in the water the boats are, and water's trying to lap in a little bit, and they're concerned about all these things. But then it hits Peter. He realized what had just happened. The reality of it hits him. He sees the fish. He sees the presence of Jesus. He sees what has just happened, which was impossible to happen. And it scares him. It scares the fool out of him. Because he says, "Get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." There's points in our lives when we touch holiness, when we know of that presence of God. We just know that God is there. It maybe have been in an intense time of prayer that you have felt this. Maybe it was at a retreat. Maybe it was in a worship service that was very meaningful for you. Maybe it was at a time of healing. Maybe it was in the dead silence that you could hear God speak. But that holiness of God comes and touches us. And in this moment, is when God
touches Peter. Peter realized that he is in God's presence, and it scares him because he knows he is unworthy of being in the presence of God. The last couple of weeks, we've been reading the story of Jesus going to his own hometown. And there was very much that same reaction. That Peter, that the people that Jesus grew up with were afraid. That this person that they had lived with for many, many years, they realized that this could be the Messiah, and it scared them. They were filled with so much fear that they wanted to get rid of Jesus and were ready to throw him off a cliff. For Peter, the story ends up different. Peter wasn't ready to throw Jesus off the cliff. But when Jesus made that invitation to come, follow me, and I will have you fishing for people, Peter was ready to go. Peter was ready to drop everything that he had and come follow Jesus, because he knew, he had the faith to know that Jesus was the real thing, that truly this was the Son of God. This was the Messiah that had been prophesied for years, for hundreds of years before. And here Peter was, standing in his presence. Here the Lord was calling him to come follow him. For us, Jesus calls us. We have those moments of holiness where we know that God's presence is there. But even in the mundane things of life, like Peter and James and John and Andrew, out there fishing, just doing the mundane things of life, you never know when God is going to call you. And he calls us maybe into the shallows at first. Like Jesus asked Peter just to pull out just a little way so he could talk to the crowd. But then at other times, he calls us into the deep water to step out into that dangerous place, that place that you may not even feel comfortable, to come out, because that's where you're going to catch the fish. That's where your commitment is full, is when you step out into the deep, when you go into those deep waters. Our faith calls us into different places, and Jesus is the one who is calling us. Come, take my hand, and I will rescue you. Or as he called Andrew, come and see. Come and see what God has in store for you. Or here he calls Peter, come follow me, and you will be fishing for people. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day.
Please rise for the prayers. Let us draw near to the light of Christ, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Thank you, dear Father, for seeking and sending us, even though, like Peter, we are sinners. Thank you for providing every spiritual gift so we can follow Jesus and fish for all people who do not know him. Lord, in your mercy. Bless every missionary and evangelist who boldly speaks your word to those who have never heard or heeded it. Protect and strengthen all who are persecuted for sharing and living the gospel. Soften the hearts of unbelievers so they may turn to you and live. Lord, in your mercy. Your son called Peter, James, and John to follow him. Now he calls this congregation to do likewise. Equip us with faithfulness, boldness, humility, and compassion. Keep us focused on your word. Use our words and work to bring many to faith in Christ their Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Give right judgment to the leaders of the nations and captains of industry, to educators and scientists, military and emergency personnel, to medical and social workers, and to all who exercise authority and responsibility for their communities. Teach them to seek your will and give them strength to do it. Help all of us to give generously of time and treasures when our neighbor's need is great. Lord, in your mercy. We ask your dearest blessings upon those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Free them from bondage to sorrow, sin, and suffering. Raise them to health and wholeness. We pray especially for Joyce Lompert, Norma Barber, Joe Barnes, Alberto Jimenez Jr., Rosa Harton, Catherine Glore, Lynn Magura, Carl Klein, Amber Glore, for those who are blind that they may see, and we ask that you may send rain to water the earth. Lord, in your mercy. We commend into your care our loved ones who have died and are at rest in you. Comfort all who grieve. Help us to be so patient and kind to one another that we all pass safely through the afflictions of this mortal life. Lead us with all whom you have redeemed by the love revealed in your Son into your kingdom, where faith becomes sight, hope becomes joy, and your love is our all in all. Lord, in your mercy. For all these things, dear Father, and for whatever else you desire for us in your wisdom and compassion, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and King. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Thank you. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks.